Good morning, and thank you for tuning in again to another edition of Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is a program where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are studying a period we are calling the Year of Development in Jerusalem. And today, we're going to look at the parable of the rich fool as we look further into Luke chapter 12. Today we're going to look at verses 13 through 21. Now, this parable relates to the concerns of a man regarding the proper share of an inheritance. But Jesus warns against an attitude of covetousness and will point out that there is much more to life than covetousness. Let's go now to chapter 12 of Luke, and we'll begin in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who buys up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now let's look at this parable. This man's sin was not the fact that he was rich. There are many individuals in the Bible of a godly character that were rich with material blessings. But yet they were praised by God for their spiritual values. This list would include men like Abraham, Job, and David. We should all be very conscious that our limited possessions make us rich when compared to the poverty of the whole world. The Bible's teachings on riches are still completely applicable to us today. But now, this man's sin, again, was covetousness, not the fact that he was rich. We need to learn the proper use of goods to be rich before God. Consider from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to constantly be on guard against materialism. Now from verse 16, we notice that the rich man enjoys a very great harvest. In fact, it was so great that he could not even store everything. And we find him in wonder about what to do with all of it. Sadly, verse 18 reveals to us that he was become guilty of laying up treasures for himself. His thoughts did not turn to others, but instead, they greedily turned toward himself. We find him guilty of not being rich toward God. He thought of relying upon his own goods rather than God. He thought of taking his rest. He thought to himself about a life of ease when he thought was so much stirred up for many years. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Money is not evil. It is the love of money that is evil. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We need to get a handle on this principle. The possession of money is not sinful, but the failure to use it for the Lord, that is sinful. Again, we refer back to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So the rich man died that night, as his soul was required of him, according to verse 20. So, what is the application here? A man has riches, and he is selfish about them. He has riches, but is not rich toward God. And when he dies, the riches are left behind. He has not used them to gain a home in heaven. So again, we draw our attention to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, like the rich fool, Satan wants you to believe your money belongs to you, You worked hard for it. And you deserve the finest material things that can make you happy. But when you fall to this lie of Satan, you will be robbed of the blessing of personal satisfaction and soon give only your leftovers to God. The failure to give to God liberally and from your heart may soon lead to the receiving of God's discipline in your life. Remember that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. God will give back to the liberal individual in their giving a hundredfold. Again, think back to Matthew 6:19-21. Now Jesus is teaching us not to put our heart and our confidence in material things, but instead to store up treasure in heaven. And of course, this begs the question of how can I store up treasure in heaven? One, I can do it by cheerfully giving to the local congregation. I can accomplish this by helping the orphan, by helping the widow, giving help to the poor, giving to evangelistic efforts. Give to other works that glorify God and bear fruit to Him. Consider Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. My friend, you cannot outgive God. Giving to God is a matter of the heart. It is not just another expense item that we have to bear. Yes, our giving must be planned and should be budgeted and the first item in our spending budget. Yes, even before taxes and insurance. Our giving tells where our heart is based, hopefully on heavenly treasure. We read in Proverbs 3:9-10, "Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." The scripture does not tell us exactly how much to give. But here is some good reference I have heard. In the Old Testament, man was to give one-tenth. But the New Testament has always asked more. I heard one preacher put it this way about how much to give. He said to give and give more until it hurts. And when it starts to hurt, give a little more, and then a little more. And when it begins to make you feel good, then you'll know you're giving as you should. God is faithful, and God is true with His promises. He has promised to fill our barns with plenty whenever we give from the first fruits of our income. We are all rich by comparison with the rest of the world, Look at the instruction of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. When we yield our lives to Jesus, we recognize Him as our Lord, and we begin to live in obedience to Him, and to glorify God with our good works and generosity. Then we partake of the spiritual feast that God has prepared for us. And so, great lessons for us from the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. I want to thank you for joining me today. A little bit short on our time today, but that's all right. We hope that you'll join in next week. If the Lord wills, we'll be here at this same time. Also, remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio website in a day or so. So, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.